The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
I have never been more optimistic about America's future than I am today, and I really mean that. Just remember, we got to remember who we are. We are the United States of America. There's nothing beyond our capacity if we work together, as this is an example of. So God bless you all, and may God protect our troops, and thank you for what you've done, particularly all the workers here.
Yet again, of course, he's just the puppet. I mean, in one sense, there is strong leadership in the United States right now, that Antiochus movement that's destroying the nation. But there's Joe Biden wandering around aimlessly, looking lost and confused there at the end of that speech. I forget where it was yesterday. But doing a full 180, basically, to get off of the platform there. We'll get to that and quite a bit more on today's show. You're listening to Stephen Fleury. This is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining our growing audience. The live video stream, of course, is provided at our website, thetrumpet.com. Just go to thetrumpet.com/live, and you can get to the live stream of it every day. Of course, we post these shows after the fact, too, if you'd like to listen on demand. You know, and so it really is a pretty good illustration, what you saw there at the end of that speech, of what we were talking about yesterday, the dearth of leadership in Israel today. We'll follow up on the story, again, coming out of Britain with Liz Truss resigning, and Britain, I guess, preparing to bring Boris Johnson back after a few weeks in the wilderness, I guess, and he's back. He hurt so many people of Britain with those lockdown measures, destroying businesses, livelihoods. And then, meanwhile, he's living large. He's going to all the parties, even during lockdown. That's right, at taxpayers' expense. And now, well, hey, let's just bring him back. Bring him back. He's the solution, I guess the Conservative Party is thinking. Where are the leaders? I referred to this issue of the magazine. September, Israel's and Britain's governments fall. Is America's next? Is America's going to collapse next? As I say, in some ways, it's not the best illustration of what's happening in America, what you saw there at the end of Joe Biden's speech, because Antiochus knows what he's doing. He wants to fundamentally transform the United States of America, and he's having good success, and he's using the powers of these massive government agencies like the DOJ, like the FBI. News just broke a few minutes ago that Steve Bannon has been sentenced to 4 months in prison. All of these January 6th protesters just rotting away in prison, even as criminals walk free. Looters, robbers, rioters. Steve Bannon just didn't talk to the January 6th committee. And so some judge in D.C., of course, the swamp, sending him away for 4 months? This was Sean Davis's tweet. FBI attorney Kevin Kleinsmith fabricated evidence against the president, that would be Donald Trump, against the president and his campaign in order to get an illegal spy warrant. So Kleinsmith, he got away with that. It says here, despite being convicted of a felony, he didn't spend a single day in prison. And his law license was restored. Bannon didn't talk to Congress. That sham of a committee where Nancy Pelosi wouldn't let one Republican sit on the committee. It was a kangaroo court, if ever there was one. And Bannon said, I'm not going to talk to those people. They've got an agenda. They're just trying to establish a narrative. So he goes off to jail for 4 months? It's frightening what's happening in the United States. I mean, they are, and then to hear Jake Tapper talk to Jeb Bush, like, hey, you're sane. Everything, it's just the bad orange man. Donald Trump is insane, and Joe Biden wandering around after a speech, perfectly normal. Perfectly normal. America coming under attack. Steve Bannon going off to jail because he wouldn't talk to Adam Kinzinger. And that's perfectly normal. That's sane, I guess we're supposed to believe. Terrifying stuff, really. There's really, as I've said before, you're seeing more and more here in the U.S. We'll come to the U.K. in a second. Certainly there is a dearth of leadership. But only one individual has stood against this attack, and that would be Donald Trump. And so Jake Tapper, of course, says he's insane. And Jeb Bush nodding along. Of course. Mike Pence, I'm sure he agrees with it. It's the Uniparty. They're all lining their pockets. They're all getting what they want, whether it's power or money or both. And Donald Trump actually made some real sacrifices. He didn't even take his salary when he was president. Isaiah 3, I read it yesterday. God's taken away the mighty man, the man of war, the judge, the prophet, the prudent. I mean, where is prudence, judgment, fairness coming out of that court that just sent Steve Bannon off to prison? I don't know. Maybe he'll be able to appeal it and avoid jail time. But of course, they're sending him to jail because they don't like what he says. They don't like his commentary. They don't like the fact that he says the election was stolen. They don't like the fact that he was one time connected to Donald Trump. So he needs to go to jail. Listen to Joe Biden from 1 year ago today. This is clip 3.
Do you have plans to visit the southern border?
I've been there before, and I haven't. I mean, I know it well. I guess I should go down, but the whole point of it is I haven't had a whole lot of time to get down. I've been spending time going around looking at the $900 billion worth of damage done by hurricanes and floods and weather and traveling around the world. But I plan on, now my wife Jill has been down.
Now she's been down. But he hasn't. And he said there a year ago, 12 months, he says, I probably should go down. And since he made that statement, there have been 2.7 million illegal crossings at the southern border of the United States. They're just pouring into the nation. And they're being shipped all over the country. They're showing up, as I said yesterday, in Massachusetts. There's footage, clip 4 shows footage of just this morning. 200. And most of them, single men. They're fleeing. I guess they're fleeing persecution. Just the young men of Venezuela. And we're just inviting them all in. No problem. But just so that you know, the only insane leader in the United States of America, that would be Donald Trump. You know, the one that's in Florida living at his hotel. Hasn't been in the White House for almost 2 years now. And the books keep coming out. And the questions keep coming up. The talking heads, they're still very, very concerned about the threat that Donald Trump poses to democracy. A year ago, the fake president said, I probably should go down to the border. Even he at that time knew he should pay a visit to the border. And since that time, hasn't gotten anywhere close to the southern border. And 2.7 million illegal immigrants just pouring into the country as if that's no problem. Listen to this report from a local TV station in New York City, clip 7.
If you're a single adult man, you're going to come here to this facility starting tomorrow.
When migrants first walk in after intake, they will see a recreational room set up with rows of couches, TVs, Xboxes, and board games. There will also be a phone bank so migrants can connect with family in order to find more permanent housing.
We can do that in 24 hours, maybe even less. Many times, it's going to take longer than that. It could take days.
Next, there is a cafeteria that will provide migrants with three meals a day, and snacks, coffee, and tea will be available 24/7.
Those meals are all culturally appropriate. It is South American fare. The menu rotates on a regular basis.
Culturally appropriate meals for the migrants? South American fare? The homeless in New York City are up in arms. Because they're treating the illegals better than the homeless. And the homeless, I mean, it's not like that isn't. That's certainly not a small problem. So the homeless in New York, they're angry, they're upset. Well, you're treating the migrants like royalty. They're coming in, they really have an Xbox and all the phone banks? And then money and then three squares? Oh yeah, every day. Just bring them in, and then I guess whoever's orchestrating this, they sound pretty positive. Like, this is great. Look at what we're doing. We can sustain this. We can handle this. The country is breaking down. The country, this is the result of an attack, a fundamental transformation. We wrote back in 2014, again, speaking of Tomorrow's News Today. So many of these magazines, by the way, let me just show you some of the covers from recent months. This is the October issue, The End of America's Constitutional Republic. This one is the most recent one, The End of an Era. Queen Elizabeth there on the cover. This is our beautiful Royal Vision magazine. There's a picture of a young Queen Elizabeth. If you haven't subscribed yet to our publications, there's no cost or obligation. They've already been paid for, all of them. You can get a free one-year subscription to The Trumpet. Just call 1-866-930-3024. You can jot down the number there at the bottom third of your screen if you're watching on video. 1-866-930-3024. We wrote, this is back in 2014, the president, speaking of Obama, has not discouraged young illegal immigrants. Instead, he has made it clear that young illegal immigrants will be treated differently in America. And they know it. They know it. I mean, if they know they're going to be given Xboxes and phones and meals and beds and hotel rooms, of course they're going to be coming across the border in droves. Says coming to America now means the possibility of free citizenship, free health care, and welfare benefits. And so they come by the tens of thousands. Well, that's a little outdated. That's 2014 in the Trumpet magazine. Now they're coming by the millions, 2.7 million illegal crossings since Joe Biden said last year, a year ago today, he said, I probably should go and visit the border. Hasn't done it yet. And the problem with everything, Trump, bad orange man, he's insane. Says liberal progressives envision a world without borders. They want open borders. They don't want to send anyone home. They want amnesty for all illegal aliens. They want the federal government to handle the situation indeed, not by locking the door, but by taking it off the hinges. Yeah, they just want the door wide open. It doesn't matter what political party you are. If it's Jake Tapper or Jeb Bush, open the door and let them in. Ship them to New York. Ship, just not Martha's Vineyard. Not Obama's backyard. Anywhere else, though, that's fine. That's fine. Just ship them everywhere. How come Martha's Vineyard, by the way, couldn't put up a tent or some kind of metal building similar to the one they're celebrating in New York City? Couldn't Obama and his neighbors have handled something such as that? Put in a few phone lines? Bring in some food? No. Get them. Send them to the military base. Get them off of Martha's Vineyard. That's where the rich liberals live. We can't have any migrants showing up. And then to hear those people The migrants were there for less than 48 hours, and the liberals said, oh, it was a life-changing experience. Yeah, I mean, this is amazing what America is doing for these migrants. We'll see you later. And they sent them off to the military base. This is killing America. We're committing suicide, and it's all by design. It's the Antiochus. This is his third administration. Sorry, his third term. And we're seeing the fruits of it. They don't want to put a door on the border. They want to break the hinges off the door. And that's what's happened. It says, and so the all-out assault on America's southern border will continue, and it will contribute to not only the transformation of the nation and the erasing of its border security, but to its actual destruction. To its actual destruction. It's contributing to our destruction. Can you think of one leader or one politician that actually looked at that southern border crisis and promised and, in fact, did something about it? Well, that would be Donald Trump. But he's gone. He's gone. They stole the election. They ran him out of town. And they still can't. They just cannot ignore him. They can ignore someone stumbling cluelessly around the stage who's supposed to be the leader of the free world. They can ignore a sitting president, fake one at that, who has the early stages of dementia. That's fine. Ignore all of that. Or pretend it's not going on. Just pretend it's not happening. And if you've got anything critical to say about any person in power or who used to be in power, just reserve that for the bad orange man. Listen to this exchange between Jake Tapper and Jeb Bush, clip two.
The Vice President Pence, he seems to think there's room for a traditional, dare I say, sane Republican in the 2024 race for president. And that's who you tried to be in the 2016 presidential election. Do you think there's room? Would the Republican base look to someone other than Donald Trump?
I think so. Yeah, I think Vice President Pence will make his case to primary voters. But my guess is that there'll be a yearning for a new generation of leadership in our country in 2024, and B, candidates that are focused on the future, not necessarily the grievances of the past.
What's amazing about that exchange there is the unity in their thinking. This is Jake Tapper, radical liberal, and then this Jeb Bush, the more traditional Republican, I guess. The kind of Republican that Jake Tapper and all of his friends in the media, the legacy media, they just love the Bushes. As if we're supposed to forget that 2 seconds ago, the Bushes and the Cheneys, I mean, they were oil hungry. George Bush was a warmonger. I mean, he was almost like Hitler. Yeah, go back, look at some of the headlines, look at some of the coverage from 2000 through 2008. They attacked. Now they love them some Cheneys and Bushes. They love the Bushes. They love the Cheneys. The only hatred is reserved for Donald Trump. I mean, that tells you something, again, about how stark this contrast is between Jeroboam and Antiochus. It shows you, too, just how strong that spirit from Antiochus really and truly is. Everybody caves into it. Everybody caves into it. And if you don't, you may be going to prison for 4 months. If you speak out against it, if you expose the steal, you may go off to prison. The D.C. gulag, that's where they persecute the political opposition. They think exactly the same, these swamp creatures. The deep state is very deep. Donald Trump's nowhere. He's not even there. Barack Obama's in D.C. Joe Biden's in the White House. Joe Biden can hardly find his way off the stage. But that's normal. And who's insane? Well, you have Jake Tapper saying it's the bad orange man. And Jeb Bush just nodding along. I mean, they're in perfect agreement. Cut from the same cloth. Listen to this from Mike Pence. This is the vice president who served under Donald Trump. And listen to how clearly and plainly stated the question is And then notice how Mr. Pence responds. Clip one.
If Donald Trump is the Republican nominee for president in 2024, will you vote for him?
Well, there might be somebody else I'd prefer more.
He was asked, if Donald Trump is the Republican nominee, will you vote for him? He can't even say yes. So, you know, they're yucking it up, and people are saying he's probably going to run for president, so he probably would pull for himself more. But leave that aside. Suppose you do run for president, and Donald Trump does as well. If Donald Trump is the Republican nominee, would you vote for him? He can't even say yes. He can't even say yes. I mean, the spirit of surrender, as I've noted on this program, the lack of courage, there, I said yesterday, there's a few exceptions. But where are the men of Israel? Where are the men and women of strength and courage? Well, Isaiah 3, as I read yesterday, tells you everything that you need to know. God's taken away most of the quality leadership. And so you have Jeb Bush reappearing. You've got Boris Johnson now. He's making another appearance. He's got they're out of ideas. There's no strong leadership. So they're just recycling through the same tired old arguments and leaders in many cases. Pretty amazing. Verse 4, I didn't get to verses 4 and 5 in Isaiah 3 yesterday. I just read the first three verses, but it says, "And I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them, and the people shall be oppressed, every one by another, and every one by his neighbor." It says, The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, and the base against the honorable." See, children are the princes. And in so many ways, Boris Johnson, he was ruling like a child during those, especially those COVID months. It really got to him. It changed his thinking. I mean, everything was locked down. Everybody was supposed to be just terrified in the UK and elsewhere, all around the world, frightened to death because of the flu. And meanwhile, he and many like him were there partying late into the night without masks. It shows you something about their leadership, about their sincerity and genuineness or lack thereof. Weak leadership in Israel. It's unbelievable now to think that here we are again. After just, 44, 45 days, Liz Truss stepping aside. Maybe it'll be someone else next week. We'll see. The opinions, I guess, they're fluctuating from one day to the next. We'll see. This is from a former aide to Margaret Thatcher. She says about Liz Truss that she basically surrendered to the radical left. I mean, that spirit is strong. Coming from the communist left, the Marxist left. It says here, former Margaret Thatcher aide and director of the Margaret Thatcher Center for Freedom at the Heritage Foundation says that Liz Truss's brief time as prime minister was a disappointment. Well, that's an understatement. It says, according to Gardner, Truss had good intentions with certain tax cuts and conservative proposals, but ended up cowering to the elite on both the left and the right. See, they're all the same. So much of it. It's just the uniparty. They're not there to serve the people. That's why when someone comes along as a champion of the people, they want to run him out of town. They want to get rid of him because he's seen as a threat to their hold on power. She came under very heavy fire from the liberal elites, but also from the IMF, from Joe Biden, and from all sorts of corners. And she caved in, Gardner explained. She basically surrendered to the left. And she gave in to the demands of the coup plotters inside the Conservative Party who wanted her out. They wanted her out. So Britain is moving on. Isaiah 3 is being fulfilled. When we come back, we'll touch on a few other stories following up on this shocking development in Britain over just the last few days. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to email the show, you can send us a comment, td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. One third of your Bible is prophecy, and 90% of it is for our time today. This is why, when you study Bible prophecy, you often read statements like, in that day, in the last days, and at the time of the end. Biblical prophecy is what makes the Bible so relevant to today, so essential to understanding our modern world. Most people, even in the world of religion, assume that nations like Britain, America, Germany, Russia, and China are not mentioned in Bible prophecy. But if prophecy is mainly for our time today, how could the Bible ignore some of the most powerful and prominent nations of today? The key to understanding prophecy is knowing the biblical identities of modern nations. Learn about these identities in Herbert W. Armstrong's book, The United States and Britain in Prophecy. In this book, you will learn about the astonishing identity of the American and British people in biblical prophecies. Request your free copy today, The United States and Britain in Prophecy. The Trumpet Daily.
I believe that many of us in this room believe that we are in the last of the last days, and that's not a time to complain. That's not a time to grumble, to be dismayed, to be disheartened, but a time to rejoice. You get to be a part of ushering in the second coming of Jesus.
Wow. I don't really have any commentary to go along with that, but that's a congresswoman from Colorado. What's her name? Lauren Boebert. So she's there at a function. I think it's in Tennessee, judging by the image there in the background. A Republican gathering talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ. Well, that doesn't happen every day. Good for her. Good for her. You wish more people would talk about that, because that's the true solution to the many problems that we see in our world today. We need Jesus Christ's leadership. We need the reign, the rule and the reign of Jesus Christ. He's coming, and of course the nations are going to be angry. When he returns, the nations are going to be filled with wrath. Satan, of course, will be whipping it up. That wrath, that rage, that hatred. The same spirit that was there 2,000 years ago. The same spirit that led to the crucifixion of the Son of God. They're going to assemble together, as many prophecies bring out. They're going to assemble together to fight. To fight against Jesus Christ. Zechariah 14, I guess, since we're on the subject, I say I didn't have any any commentary. Well, Zechariah certainly comes to mind when you think about the rule of Jesus Christ. Verse 4 of Zechariah 14, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave into, well, before that, look at verse 3. It says here, thus shall the Eternal go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. He's going to set foot on the Mount of Olives. This is referring to the return of Jesus Christ, the second coming of Jesus Christ. It says here in verse 9, and the Eternal shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. He's going to be king over the earth. And what's going to happen to those who fight against him, who resist against his rule. Verse 12 says, "And this shall be the plague wherewith the Eternal will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth." They're just going to melt, literally melt, for their rebellion against Jesus Christ's rule. How come there aren't more commentators and politicians and leaders today that are proclaiming this blessed truth to you, to the general public? You don't even hear it in the traditional Christian churches. They don't talk about the return of Christ. Satan has deceived this world. He started in the Garden of Eden. He got Adam and Eve to believe the big lie about the immortal soul and that the shell of a man, the physical fleshly frame, was somehow evil, even though God said it was good. God said the human heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Man, the educators of today, the theologians of today, they teach that the heart of man is essentially good and that it's improving and that we're getting better and better. I just saw a tweet during the break. Joe Biden accuses Republicans of wanting to crash the economy. Here he's in the midst of an economic crash he's presided over. He's been there 2 years. And the way they see it, well, it's just working according to plan. It's perfect. But now those dirty Republicans, if they get in there, especially if they're headed up by MAGA, we got to put MAGA in jail. We got to get Bannon and the others in jail. If the MAGA people get control, they're going to crash the economy. Well, look at the economy. Look at the economy that was there before the attack of COVID, before the radical left used COVID to steal an election, to shut down the economy, and to steal the election. That was in 2020. 2020, just a few, you can go on, by the way, and read the last few verses of Zechariah 14, where it talks about, you know, what will happen if people from all nations aren't going up to Jerusalem to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. It says God's going to send curses. So when the leadership of God is in place, what a different world that will be. What a different world it'll be compared to the world of today. Isaiah, of course, giving that description in chapter 3, where we would be right before the return of Jesus Christ. A crisis in leadership. Brendan O'Neill had an article at Spiked Online talking about how Britain basically is a political wasteland and how that it lacks leadership. He goes through some of the history and talks about how the Conservative Party in its history has produced some of the greatest leaders in the world, in our modern world, certainly with Churchill and others, and others not quite up to his level. But you look at Britain's history, there was a time when there was strong leadership, when there were mighty men. O'Neill writes, "So Liz Truss is out in just 44 days. After just 44 days, her premiership is no more. I'm a fighter, not a quitter," she said in Parliament yesterday, and now she's quit. "Her premiership deserves to live in ignominy. Not necessarily because her blunders were so spectacular, though many of them were, but because of what this strangled at birth stint in Downing Street tells us about British politics more broadly, which is that it's a wasteland, an ideological void, a dust bowl of ideas, the lack of even the faintest glimmer of leadership material anywhere in the Westminster circus is horrifying to me." Here's a journalist who's just looking at the leaders in Britain, and he's horrified. Does this world need new leadership? Does Britain need new leadership? Does America need a new kind of leadership? Trussism is but a symptom of a wider malady afflicting our political class. And then he goes into talking about some of the mistakes that she made it says here, let's go beyond Truss and Hunt and ask what this all tells us about the Conservative Party. This is the oldest political party in Europe, arguably the world. It's the party that gave us Peel, Churchill, Thatcher, properly historic figures, which birthed so much of the legal and political order we live under, which The Economist aptly called the world's most successful party. Now it's a hollow machine, bereft of strategy, in dire want of ideas, out of touch with the public, disoriented, and infamous for having a PM who couldn't last a naff paltry 50 days in Downing Street. And you could add to this, and now they're looking to Boris Johnson again, perhaps. They're out of ideas, aren't they? It's a void. It's a leaderless void. Verse 6 of Isaiah 3, it speaks of a time when a man shall take hold of his brother of the house of his father, saying, you have clothing, you be our ruler, and let this ruin be under your hand. That's what's coming. God says it's going to get so bad that nobody will want to rule. Nobody will want to step up and lead. We're rapidly approaching that reality in the United States and Britain. Dan Hannan, I forget, this is at the Washington Examiner, he made the point that we made yesterday about how impossible it is to get in there and to make budget cuts, to reduce spending, because our people are so used to the nanny state, just giving handouts, one after another after another. I mean, look at the news on the migrant shelter in New York City. Taxpayers funding that. It's so easy for these people to just spend your money. And of course, more and more they're having to borrow because they can't keep things in budget. So what does Britain go from in 15 years, as I said yesterday? It goes from a 600 billion pound debt to 2.7 trillion, I think it is. We'll not even get into the U.S. debt. Just print more money. Just COVID lockdowns, that's okay. Throw billions of dollars at it. Everything will be fine. It says here in the Washington Examiner, at least she tried. British Prime Minister Liz Truss understood that the high-tax, cheap-cash model that had been in place since 2009 had run its course. There was no money left. The lockdowns and the Ukraine war brought the crisis to a head, but it would have happened anyway. You can't carry on forever creating currency for state officials to spend. In other words, you just can't keep spending money. You can't keep spending money that's not there, money that you don't have. You can't keep going into greater and greater debt. At some point, everything pops. The big balloon of debt pops. And the nation crumbles. The nation is dead. The nation collapses under the burden of that debt. It says, during the party primary that followed Boris Johnson's unexpected and possibly temporary resignation, Truss made clear that she intended to tackle the problem at its root, cutting taxes and allowing interest rates to rise to a more historically normal level. Rank-and-file Tory members approved and voted for her, but Tory members of Parliament did not. They blocked her proposed tax cuts, thereby ending her premiership, the shortest in Britain's long history. Hannan says here, it is fair to say that in doing so, they were reflecting the wishes of their constituents. In Britain, as elsewhere, listen to this, in Britain, as elsewhere, there is a stubborn refusal to face up to the costs of lockdowns. Okay, we spent all of this money, and this is the way, Biden is like this, only on steroids. Okay, spend trillions. Spend trillions more. There's not one ounce of, okay, we spent a lot in 2020 because of the lockdowns. Now let's try to bring it back to a sane level. No, just keep spending. That's normal. The only thing that's insane is Donald Trump. This is the message coming from the radical left. the communist left. It says here, the years 2020 and 2021 saw a faster rise in state spending around the world than any equivalent period in history, including during the two world wars. Can you believe this? These are perilous times that we're living in. More state spending just in the last 2 years than we've seen at any time in our history, including World Wars I and II. That's right. And you look at the way they're leading today, and it's just more of the same. Hey, we got away with spending trillions in 2020. Let's just keep the party going. It says here, that spending was supposed to be temporary and contingent, but just as after the two world wars, governments are now reluctant to relinquish the powers that they assumed on a supposedly emergency basis. Yes, the furloughs have been wound up, but the increases in health care and other budgets are now being treated as structural. Now it's just, well, it's just baked in to the way things work. Instead of spending falling back to pre-2020 levels, taxes are rising to meet it. This is America and Britain. If you don't have this book, by the way, this is all prophesied. I mean, I'm focusing more on Isaiah 3. But there's many more prophecies that we could point you to. The United States and Britain in prophecy. Where do we factor in? What does God have to say about this precipitous decline that we're in the midst of at this moment? What is God? Does God have anything to say in his Bible, the inspired word of God? Does he have anything? A third of the book is prophecy. Does he have anything to say about this, the greatest empire in the history of the world and the single greatest superpower in the history of the world? Or does God completely ignore the United States and Britain? Because many theologians would have you believe that. Yeah, everything's kind of focused on, you know, that little sliver of a nation called Israel in the Middle East that was only in existence in 1948 and to today. But that's where all of the prophecies kind of pertain to. To be sure, Jerusalem is a focal point. That's the coming headquarters of tomorrow's world. It is important what's happening in and around Jerusalem. But God has a world view. God says that Satan is the god of this world. So what does God have to say about our nations? Well, I read to you in Zechariah 14, you can see the same language in Revelation 11, where it says the nations, plural, they're going to be angry. They're going to be fighting against Christ. They're going to be fighting against the government of God. God is preparing his government. The wife of Christ. She's being prepared. Even now, the bride will have made herself ready. That's in Revelation 19. She's going to marry. The church is going to marry Jesus Christ. And that family, that royal family, will rule the world. And it's coming soon. That congresswoman from Colorado, if only she knew the full truth on this subject. What an exciting message. What a hope-filled message. But today, well, coming back to Isaiah 3, it says here in verse 8, "For Jerusalem is ruined, and Judah is fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord to provoke the eyes of his glory." So God is against us, like it says in Ezekiel 5. And when God is against us, I mean that there is no greater curse. Now, there's coming a time, Ezekiel 36 brings this out, there's coming a time when God is going to be for us. Then we're going to be blessed. God's going to regather Israel and bring them to their old homeland and spread them out underneath their own vine and fig tree. It's going to be a land-based economy in the wonderful world of tomorrow where everyone's fruitful and productive and contributing to the land, contributing to their nation, supporting their government, the government of God. It's a wonderful time, depicted in another work by Herbert Armstrong, The Wonderful World Tomorrow. What will it be like? What will the world of tomorrow be like? I was telling my wife when we were off at the Feast of Tabernacles that I'm just, you know, it's stunning. How many passages in the Old Testament, the New, minor prophets, major prophets? So many passages where God is describing the world tomorrow. He's describing utopia. He's describing paradise. And you've got so many fantasists today who say that they're pursuing a utopian dream. Well, why won't they look into the good book, the world's number one bestseller, and see what God says about utopia and how to bring it about, how to build a utopia? Because there's plenty of prophecies in there. God is doing everything he can to make the world tomorrow real, to help us see it, to help us envision it. We in the church, we're about to build it. We're about to lead an earth-wide effort to raise ruins, to build the waste places, to build the cities of tomorrow. Verse 9, again, speaking of the world today, it says, "The show of their countenance does witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves." You see, it's not just the problem with the leaders. I mean, that's part of it. It's a sickness from the head all the way down. So the head includes the leadership, but it's all the way down to the feet, as Isaiah 1 brings out. A sickness through and through. That includes, that's why when you say, oh, COVID, lockdowns, hundreds of billions, let's spend trillions. Then everything simmers down as far as the scamdemic is concerned. But the leaders and their constituents, they simply will not tighten their belts, financially speaking. Just keep on spending. Keep the government handouts coming. It's not just a crisis in leadership, you see. It's a crisis in character, top to bottom. How sick are our nations? Well, the Bible says, it says it in chapter 1. Maybe I should have read that, Isaiah 1, verses 5 and 6-ish. But let's focus in on chapter 2, actually. This is Isaiah 2. He was out there proclaiming God's truth. And God said, the heart of the Israelites, look, I want you to go and proclaim this message, but just so that you know, the heart of the Israelites, it's fat, they're spoiled, and their ears are heavy, their eyes are closed to the truth. And it's the same today. Our nations aren't listening to God. They're not, you know, there's a small audience that follows this program, that reads our material, that subscribes to the trumpet, but for the most part, the vast majority, they just have their heads buried in the sand. And so they don't see what's coming. They're not even thinking about the second coming of Jesus Christ. They're not thinking about preparing for that blessed event. They just carry on putting their faith in men, their faith in human nature. Isaiah 2:17, it says, "And the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low, and the eternal alone shall be exalted in that day." We went through 1 Corinthians 1 in class today, where Paul contrasts the wisdom of men with the wisdom of God. Paul said, even the foolishness of God is wiser than anything this world has produced. And of course, he was just speaking figuratively. God isn't foolish in any respect. But just to demonstrate how inferior we are and the hearts of man are to the heart of God, the mind of God, Paul offered that illustration and said, listen, everything that this world churns out is just foolishness. And the greatest foolishness there is for anyone to say, there is no God. There is no God. I mean, you can't trust the Bible. That's foolishness. That's stupidity. of the highest order. Psalm 14 and verse 1. Go read it. You know, when God talks about the loftiness of men, it's just, well, you see it here in this passage. He has a way of putting man in his place. Verse 11, just to back up, it says, "The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Eternal alone shall be exalted in that day." He repeats it. Verse 11, God alone is about to be exalted. We're about to come face to face with the nuclear explosion that we've created, that we've produced, the national destruction that we have caused. God is the one who's going to be exalted in that day. Verse 18 says, "And the idols he shall utterly abolish, and they shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth for fear of the Eternal and for the glory of his majesty when he arises to shake terribly the earth." See, we're so hardened, so stubborn, so lacking in fear of God that God has to shake terribly the earth. Verse 20 says, "In that day a man shall cast his idols of silver and idols of gold, which they made each one for himself to worship, to the moles and the bats," it says there. Verse 21, "to go into the clefts of the rocks and into the tops of the ragged rocks for fear of the Eternal and for the glory of his majesty when he arises to shake terribly the earth." It's coming. God is, in some ways, he's shaking today. He's trying to get our attention. I mean, these are earth-shaking curses that are bringing our nations down. Verse 22 says, "Cease you from man, whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of?" See, this is the source of our many problems today. Man is the problem. The heart of man is the trouble. The heart is desperately wicked. It's desperately wicked. It's deceitful above all things, the prophet said. It's deceitful above everything? That's right. It tells you something about who the real God of this world is. It's Satan the devil. Now, God's purpose and plan goes forward, and for his purposes, he has maintained a hands-off effort in many ways, as he's just let us see the result of cleaving to man and man's heart. God says, "Cease from man. Look to me. Look to the loftiness and the exaltation of God, not man." You look at what man has produced. And I mean, the track record is there, and what an embarrassment. You would think we'd be embarrassed, we'd be ashamed, we'd turn to God in humility and repentance and fasting. As it is, we defiantly shake our fist at God. Isaiah 1, verse 16, it says, "Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil, put away the evil, put away the filth. Learn to do well," verse 17 says. "Seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow." See, there is a way to peace, as it says in Isaiah 59. There is a way to do well. God's laws spell it out. Verse 18 says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Come and reason with me, says God. True education, a godly education, starts with reasoning together with God. God is an educator. God is a father. God is a father who wants to educate and to train his little children. And that's who we are. Perhaps we can get into this a little bit more next week, but can you believe it? We're already at the end of another week of broadcasting here on KPCG or at the trumpet.com website. You're listening to Stephen Fleury. This is the Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining us on today's show. We appreciate you joining us all week, and we'll see you next time.